Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
And the horn sounds. The Edmonton Oilers are going to hand the Bruins their first regulation loss on home ice since Black Friday. Your final tonight, Oilers 4 and the Bruins nothing.
Well, that was rough last night.
Yikes.
I'll be honest, I didn't catch much of the first period. Bruins were down 1-0. I'm watching in the second. Bruins have an opportunity to even up the scoring. You thought they were going to even up the scoring.
Oh, my God. It was right there. You thought they were going to score shorthanded. Breakaway?
Zaka gets denied.
Like, shorthanded. Here we
go. Next thing you know.
Blink your eyes.
Brandon Carlo trips over himself. Connor McDavid, breakaway goal. He's been cold for them.
Yeah.
Breakaway goal the
Good
other
player,
way.
Though.
2-0.
Nice player.
3-0 before the end of the period. Bruins wind up losing 4-0 after an empty netter last night. It's hour two, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's a Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do some Would You Rathers coming up. We'll also talk to Terp at high noon.
All right, Terp.
As we add in some Bruins and Celtics thoughts from last night, both in action. I would say they went very different directions.
They sure did.
You can still jump in on the Patriots conversation. Mike Vrabel, could Brady screw it all up? The urgency from Robert Kraft and the bombshell story today from Chad Graff. Exposing some of the issues that Jerod Mayo had last year. Two buddy-buddy with the players, playing cards with them on the back of the plane on the way back from Arizona. Indecisive when it came to discipline, et cetera, which I think is another way where ownership is trying to highlight the criteria that Mike Vrabel brings to the table and the positives that Mike Vrabel brings to the table. So you can jump in on all that again. 617-779-7937. Bruins lose last night, Keith. 4-0.
Sure did.
Swayman was bombarded in that game. I think he faced 38 shots. The defense in front of him has been poor. Not to let him off the hook by any means. He's been terrible.
Nope.
But you give up 38 shots. Swayman gives up 3 goals last night. They lose 4-0. And you have Fire Sweeney Chance in the building. Bruins have lost 5 in a row, 6-7.
Yeah.
They're back home and losing now, as you heard Judd Surratt there detail on Nesson. They have been dropping games on the road, but at least defending their home ice, not anymore. They're in jeopardy of falling out of the playoffs altogether because they've been just peeing away all these points. Teams are catching up in the standings. The Fire Sweeney Chance lets you know Bruins fans are restless.
Sometimes they just got to know their place.
Are they in trouble? Yeah, we'll see if anybody
Bruins
say
that. The league. Shut your mouth.
We'll see if
stop it.
Anybody got Marchand or anybody comes out and says that after the game. Are they in trouble, A. Keefe? And if they are, what do they do about it?
They are in trouble. I don't know how you can be watching them and think that they're not in trouble. In fact, last night, I think you could see it on Joe Sacco's face. And they showed him right after that exchange we were talking about where it looked like they were going to tie it up shorthanded and then immediately went down 2-0. And they immediately show him on the bench, and he's just like, man, like, what am I? What on earth am I supposed to do
with this?
What am
I doing here?
What is this? I thought I had a chance at this. The team is playing really poorly. Also, I think you can notice it, too. A guy like Trent Frederick, who I really, really like, is not having a good year.
Did you say this on the air? You said if you could buy any player jersey, Trent Frederick's your guy.
I think so.
That's your guy.
On this team. It also maybe speaks to the level of talent they have.
He'll rough you up a little bit. He roughed up Corey Perry last night.
Bloody knucks.
He had 1 point in a month. Let's get his jersey.
Listen, Nick, I'm not talking about the points. I'm talking about him punching Corey Perry in the snout.
Last year, he was like a 2020 guy, right? He was right around 40 points last year, I think.
The thing. Last year. This year's a different year. He has sucked this year.
He's not been good. And he's in a contract year.
But I could see it. Every punch he threw, it wasn't about Corey Perry. It was about him. We've all been there, right? You're yelling. You're like, I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at me.
Yeah.
I'm mad at myself.
The millions he's flushed down the toilet with the way he's
millions.
Playing this year. Yeah.
Millions.
Yeah.
He has flushed millions. He's probably going to have to sign like a 1-year deal somewhere because he's playing so poorly. And I think he was kind of taking it out on Corey Perry, which was great to see. It was fun. Like, he's tough trying to get the team back into it a little bit. He clearly won that fight, but that didn't do anything. So, I don't know. I have a hard time because a lot of the conversation around this team, and you add it to the Fire Don Sweeney Chance, is how bad the roster is. People are so mad about the roster. Maybe I'm an idiot, but I just think you have a ton of guys that are playing way below what they are. Like, I expected more from Frederick. I expected more from Coyle. I expected more from Elias Lindholm. Zadorov, I mean, just blows. I thought maybe he'd be better. I think even other guys, you know, whether like Carlo, like...
No, I think you're right.
I thought they were better. I don't look at... I mean...
Their best players have underachieved. 100%.
Yes, that's what I think.
Swayman, Pastrnak, McAvoy, Marchand. You just gave the list. Even the new signings, Lindholm, Zadorov, like all those guys. So you're right. Frederick on the list as well. I don't know if he's really truly one of their best players, but fine. Their best players have underachieved. I agree with that. I didn't hate the roster coming into the year, but now something doesn't fit. You already blew out the coach.
Yeah.
So, okay, they're all underachieving. Do you just sit there and wait and hope that, you know, all of a sudden their numbers come back up and they regress to the mean and these guys are about to get hot because that's the way it works year to year?
No, or, you probably do have to shake it
or up. Or do you do something about it?
Yeah, and so I think you have to.
I think that's now the new thing for Sweeney. I didn't hate the roster coming into the year either. I like the Lindholm signing. I talked myself into, like an idiot, the Zadorov signing because at least they were spending money.
He had a chance to be Haas of the Week every week, but he's not. He's never going to be Haas of the Week.
I don't think he's going to be winning Haas of the Week anytime soon here on Jones and Keefe. So I was okay with the roster. They should definitely be a playoff team.
Yeah.
Right now you're teetering on it. 45 points in 43 games. You have Columbus in the final playoff spot, 42 and 41. Games in hand, they can pass you. Same thing with Pittsburgh. Same thing with even Ottawa, who has played four fewer games. So
no, they're in trouble in that sense. Like right now, they're like, oh, they have a playoff spot, but like these teams are like right behind them and they haven't played as many games.
The Bruins
and, like,
have the games out of hand, Keith.
Their games are way
out of hand. You never want the games way out of hand.
Which is good that maybe it'll lighten up a little bit. You'll get some time off at some point because you've played so many. You've played five more games than Tampa, however that's worked.
So look, the fans hate Sweeney. We know that.
Yeah.
Sweeney gets all kind of ridicule. I think for good reason. If they're trending towards missing the playoffs, I think that'll get his attention because it'll get ownership's attention.
Oh, yeah. You can't miss the playoffs.
And he's going to have to do something about it. So that's now the onus for him.
They already fired the coach.
Yeah.
That was one avenue that they could have gone down, and they did. And there was a immediate boost. But we even wondered in real time how much of that was the change in voice versus you're playing bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
They played a bunch of bad teams. They did they piled up some points, and you're like, all right. You know, maybe the season's back on. And then you start playing some good teams again, and things are starting to fall apart. They've had a power play issue. It seems like every year, there's no in-between. Either they have an awesome power play or a horrible power play. Like, in the last, 10 years?
Yeah,
doesn't it feel like it's one or the other?
Even going back to 2011 when they won the cup. Yeah.
It's either like, oh my God, they score every time, and Pastrnak's going to have, like, 25 power play goals, or it's like, nope, stymied again.
Yeah.
And so they're in one of those kind of funks. You pay the goalie. The goalie hasn't lived up to the contract yet. So it's a tough combination. But, I mean, to me, you have two of the best forwards in hockey. You have one of the best defensemen in hockey. And you should have one of the best goalies in hockey. It's a pretty good place to start. That's why I think, like, these guys are just widely underachieving. And so far, they've been doing it now with two different coaches.
So you fired the coach. It didn't get their attention. Now you got to shake up the roster. What do they need? How does Sweeney fix it? Can Sweeney fix it? Do they move on from Don Sweeney? Do you agree with the crowd last night? Look, if they miss the playoffs, he probably is gone, especially because he lost his human shield in Jim Montgomery.
Yeah.
Well, I checked this morning. St. Louis has been better since he's been there, but they haven't been great. 617-779-7937. Do they need, I think based on your answer, you think they need help up front, help on the power play, help in their top six, which I would agree with.
Yeah, I think all of that. I mean, I know they scored... Pastrnak had a couple of goals in that game against New York where they lost in overtime. But you look on this losing streak, you know, they got shut out last night. They had two games where they back-to-back scored a goal. So, I mean, you really can't go wrong. Like, the defense hasn't been very good. The two goalies are the two goalies. That's the one thing where, like, you're keeping those guys.
I feel
everybody
like on the back end and the goalies, they have so much money invested.
Yeah.
Like, they have invested a lot of money back there. So, I would invest, and I know they just paid Lindholm. I would invest more up front, personally.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I think that's what they need. You look at their current losing streak. They've lost five in a row. And they have scored in three of those games one goal or fewer.
That's
right. Scored one against Washington, one against New York, zero last night.
It's not going to cut it.
It's not.
It's not.
So how do you fix the Bruins? 617-779-7937. And Nick certainly feels like Sweeney's gone.
So
do you agree? Is he a dead man walker?
Trent Frederick, for example, right? One of my favorite players. Last year had... what do you have, 18 goals and 22 assists.
Yeah, so I thought he was like, a 40-point guy. I thought he was 20-20, but 18-22,
whatever.
But
still, it added up to the 40. He'd punch you in the mouth, and then he'd also score you a point every other game. This year, that's cut in half. He's on pace for 23 points. So I thought you could kind of rely on that because he had had kind of back-to-back years where it was in that ballpark, and you're like, hey, contract year, here we go. Maybe you expect even a little bit more. But he seems to be one of those guys, and you see it in every sport every once in a while. Contract year, not necessarily a motivator. Maybe it's on your mind, and you kind of regress a little
bit. In your head.
And that's what's happening with him.
100%. So, yeah, I think Frederick is an obvious guy to move if he has value. I don't know how much value he has based on the way he's playing.
Not a ton.
And I think that he's an impending free agent.
It's more about, you know, who are some of the guys that are on the ice right now a lot that you just need to kind of shake it up. And maybe it's a change of scenery for somebody else from some other team that comes in and provides a little bit of a spark or something like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, you don't have much to move, right? I think you have your draft pick this year, if I'm not mistaken.
If like the first time ever.
Yeah,
like,
I think they still have it. They'll probably trade it, and I'm fine with them trading it. They have no prospects to move. Do you have a young, attractive player on the roster you can move? Not really. So I don't know how you get help in your top six, but that's what the team needs. Whether or not Sweeney can get it, that's his job. So we'll get to your phone calls on the Bruins. You can weigh in on the Patriots, our conversation there as well.
They have their 1, 3, 5, 6, and 7. They have 2 and 4 for next year.
So there you go. They have their first round pick if you want to move that. Meanwhile, the Celtics last night. I said I would give them credit for going 3 wins or 4 wins on this 4-game trip.
And they did.
They win 3 out of 4. I will give them credit for that. It is a successful road trip for the Boston Celtics. They beat the Nuggets last night. They won going away in the fourth quarter. They had a 15-0 run. While Denver was keeping it close, too close, I think it was tied with 8.5 minutes left. Christian Brown, who I hate. I think I hate him the most out of anybody in the NBA when I watch him.
He does have like a smackable face.
He's annoying.
Good. I feel like he's pretty good.
No, I didn't say he's a bad player. I just said I think I hate him.
Yeah.
I know I hate him. I think I hate him more than anybody else in the league.
What about Dario Saric?
He doesn't. I didn't like him very much either. He doesn't pronounce his name properly. His name is Braun. He calls himself Christian Brown.
No.
He's annoying to watch.
Yep.
But he hit a 3 in the middle of the fourth quarter, tie game, Celtics go on a 15-0 run. Good. Successful road trip. I'm not arguing with you. It is a shame they didn't get Jokic and, by the way, Aaron Gordon last night. Celtics were without Derek White, so let's call that a wash. Gordon, Derek White.
Oh, they say Jokic and White?
No. Gordon and White, let's call that a wash.
No, Jokic sucks.
No, Jokic and the Nuggets still gave you a game.
Yeah, no, I know. I that's just unfortunate as a basketball fan not to see Jokic, you know, and that's why you're like, you know, the Celtics are dealing with complacency in like a lot of these games, and you wonder, it's easy to get excited to play Denver and to wrap up the road trip, but then when you find out Jokic isn't on the other side, I wonder if that's like a little bit of like it's almost like a lose-lose. It's either we win, we don't get credit, or we lose to that. Because last year, think about all the times they lost to the Cavs without Donovan Mitchell. They lost to the Lakers without LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not beneath them to lose to a team that's not playing their best player. So, yeah, that sucked when you found out Jokic wasn't playing. But ultimately, they did take care of business. And 3-1 on the trip is a very solid trip. The one, though, is frustrating because of how they lost.
And they got just
pantsed in the second half against the Thunder.
Bitched around. I mean, the Thunder did whatever they wanted in the second half of that game. And that's a team that has been on absolute. I think, by the way, they play the Cavs tonight. I think it's Thunder-Cavs.
Ooh, Thunder-Cavs.
Good game tonight. I believe they play each other.
But that's also such a shot in the arm for the Thunder. So if we get this finals preview that a lot of people have predicted, Thunder and Celtics, like if the Thunder break through this year, they might get a couple of their guys back healthy. Maybe they go on a run. In the back of their mind now, or maybe on the front of their mind, they're like, we beat the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
We beat the Celtics. We turned it up in the second half, and we beat them. So to me, that's such a big confidence boost because they might be the team that you think isn't ready.
They lost the NBA Cup, though. That's a good point. That's a strike against
them. They might just pack it in and quit.
That's true.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. No, but like if they this is, you know, 6 months from now, play in the NBA Finals against the Celtics, like they have that. Like, that's a big feather in the cap.
100%. Yeah. So I'm annoyed at the Jokic thing last night.
I know.
Here's something I'm encouraged by. Successful road trip.
Yeah.
You win 3 out of 4 games. That's the criteria. It's not their fault. Jokic was out with the sniffies.
No.
Which, by the way, soft for Derek White, soft for Jokic. You're both out with like a scratchy throat.
What do you think that is? Do you think they were sharing a scorpion bowl?
Maybe.
Those two guys?
Good point.
Yeah.
Like, grow up.
Sharing cigarettes?
Grow up. Scratchy throat.
Yeah.
They both missed that game.
Yeah, but
at high
altitude,
saying about
though,
both, well,
Jones,
good point.
Knock it right out.
The symptoms are going to be a little worse
mm-hmm.
at high altitude. I actually, if you were watching, I thought what's his name? Drew Carter had a good line last night.
Which one?
Porzingis got kicked in the nuts. And he goes, you think that hurts more at altitude?
That's not bad.
Yeah, good little line.
Yeah, well played,
and
sir.
And then Scal was like, bro, I don't want to joke about this. Like, he's fine. Oh, he got kicked in the nuts, Scal. He's fine.
Throw him a bone. Drew Carter needs all the help he can get.
It's not a season-ending injury. But anyways.
By the way, Porzingis good.
Very good.
Looked real good last night.
Yeah, it helps when Jokic isn't out there, I would say.
I'm just saying.
But so Mike Malone before the game. Here's something I liked about the Celtics. No Jokic. How much can you read into it? You can debate. Successful road trip. I'm not going to debate. I'll give it to him. Good road trip. Bad loss in the middle, but good road trip. Mm-hmm. Mike Malone said before the game about the Celtics, and I thought this was interesting.
He can be prickly.
Oh, he was very prickly last night.
Mike Malone is usually prickly.
I'll give Scal credit. Scal last night called out Malone right when he had that stupid challenge. And Malone ran out of timeouts. He couldn't stop the Celtics' 15-0 run. I think it was a 12-0 run when he finally did stop it. But he used his last timeout to do that, and it was stupid. So Mike Malone's annoying. I'm with you on that. He said last night, in the prior to the game, he said no matter what you do, the Celtics are going to shoot 53s. He says, I really believe that. He says 19 of their 53s are taken off the bounce. They shoot in transition, blah, 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 blah. So he goes through all the different ways they get their shots. He says they shoot the same number of threes in wins and losses. Their percentage is much, much different. But point being, they're going to get 50 shots up. That's just how they're wired. It's the quality of the three that they get. Okay, so he goes on this big, long thing before the game last night. They're going to get 53s no matter what they do. I think the Celtics intentionally leaned out a little bit based on those comments.
You think so?
They took 35 last night. They made 12. They were outshot on makes and attempts by the Nuggets last night. I wonder if the Celtics made a little bit of a point to Mike Malone. Now, could you make that if Jokic were playing? Maybe not. Mm. And Aaron Gordon were playing? Maybe not. Those guys were out. You were without Derek White. I think they consciously made an effort to play a little differently and go through Porzingis early on in the game. And good. You shouldn't need to, every single night, launch 53s.
There are a lot of threes.
There are different ways to win. And I think the Celtics, to a degree, proved that last night. Good. They were called out before. They're going to take 53s no matter what. They took 35.
Well, it's funny because going into the Houston game, the second game on this trip, there was a lot of stats going around about how Houston is really good at locking down teams. They don't shoot a lot of threes against Houston. It's clearly a point of emphasis for Ime Udoka. They took 39 in that game, so they still put up a bunch. It wasn't the 50 number that Malone's talking about, but maybe they are finding other ways. You know, and one of it, too, that maybe swung it was just Jaylen Brown individually only took one. He only took one three last night.
Tatum was still launching last night.
Oh, yeah. Bombs away. And he's not going in.
I didn't think Tatum had a great game last night. Tatum was launching. You're right. Yeah. Jaylen didn't score a lot last night. Never mind shoot a ton, but yeah.
I like that because I think you want to be able to see them win in other ways. I think if they just settle for threes and in a course of a seven-game series, it'll probably be okay, and they'll probably win that way. It's some of these one-off games, though, that you're talking about where if you don't have it, they're all capable of doing it. Tatum and Brown could score. I mean, especially Tatum can score almost anytime he wants if he's even like, hey, we need 2 points. Like, he can probably get you the 2 points, but they just fall in love with the three. Coach makes it easy for them, and usually they do get pretty open looks. Right, like that's one thing you can say about him is like,
oh, for sure.
When they take 43s, like I don't know, 30 of them are kind of uncontested.
Their ball movement's great. Yeah. I mean, when they're clicking and they're whipping the thing around the perimeter, I mean, their ball movement is great. And something I would say about Jrue Holiday, we talked about this earlier in the year. Our team's just going to leave him and let him shoot. I thought the Nuggets were doing that to a degree last night, and he knocked down 3 out of 7, and he shot well from the floor. And you know, I thought largely both he and Jaylen Brown were pretty competitive with Jamal Murray outside of that second quarter. So those are good things. Those are all good things for the Celtics. Good, successful road trip for the Celtics. Even without Nikola Jokic, I want to give him too much credit for the win last night specifically. But the road trip, I'll give him credit for. And winning differently than they normally do when the opposing coach says before the game, they're going to get 50 every night, they take 35, and they still win, I'll give him credit for that too.
Interesting little nugget, according to the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department. Well, the Celtics take about six more threes at home than they do on the road.
Huh?
They bomb it up at the Garden, a little bit less on the road.
And at altitude, they take even less.
That's right.
That's courtesy of the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department.
Not bad. They gotta get the inhalers out for the Mile High games.
Good boy. Kata needed one last night after his first stint.
I don't know how to judge how far to shoot from beyond the arc.
Could be that.
That might be it. The distance is all off. Oh, did you see Kata put somebody in an absolute blender last night? He had that one. I was like, is that Hakeem Olajuwon?
A little lefty hook?
Yeah, it was like pivot. He probably traveled, but he was like pivot, spin, hook.
It's real nice.
Oh, that way, Kata. More of that. I didn't know he had that in
him. Kevin McHale.
Yeah, who is
out
that?
There with all the post moves.
The dream shake? What was that?
617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Bruins and the Celtics. Going in different directions. Celtics with a nice road trip. Bruins ready to fire their GM. If the fans have any say about it, they've lost five in a row. Maybe Joe Sacco, not the guy. In fact, 617-779-7937. We'll talk to Terp at high noon here on Jones and Keefe today. More on the Celtics coming up. We'll get to the Red Sox as well. Seems like they're dissatisfied with Rafael Devers and Tristan Casas. So we'll do that coming up. Plus, it's Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll get to some Would You Rathers.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
Would you rather Juan Soto or Would you rather have a pet monkey or a mini pig? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keith.
I think we were both vampire, right? You weren't werewolf.
Oh, no, vampire for sure.
Vampire for sure.
Yeah, much sexier than the werewolf.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's
true.
Oh,
what do you mean, well?
The werewolves are
all the hair. Hair's everywhere. It's not good.
2025, Keith, hair's in.
You have a wolf-like snout. You don't want that.
Well, I was just saying,
Draculas can be like anything.
I think they reproduce at a rapid level is what I was going to say, but that's mostly to...
Only on full moons.
Keep the line alive. Yeah,
that's true.
I don't think vampires can reproduce. They're dead.
Well, they're dead.
Yeah, so I don't think they can reproduce.
Live forever.
That's another plus, by the way.
Got it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Don't have to worry about that. Nope.
Neither do I anymore. I had a surgery that didn't go great.
Did you actually?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, really?
It went poorly, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You want to talk about it?
I don't know. I guess we're there. But
well, it was a while ago. And yeah. He didn't put enough anesthesia down there.
Oh, no.
Nightmare.
Yikes.
One of the most painful things in my entire life.
Oh, boy.
I had a buddy that got it done, and he was like, oh, yeah, it's nothing.
I have a lot of buddies who've had it.
I've had a couple buddies actually brag.
The snip-snap, and they're like, oh, you're in, you're out. You weren't in and out.
Oh, and one buddy's like, oh, I was doing work emails during it. I'm like, oh, were you? I was in death-like pain. I was screaming. It was horrible. It was like a murder scene down there. The guy's like,
oh, you wanted anesthesia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you feel that? I'm like, I feel everything. I feel everything, sir. Oh, no, it was a nightmare. I forget if I talked about it before here or maybe on the podcast, but it was a nightmare. The guy was like, oh, you mind if I play some music? I'm like, sure, play some music.
Yeah.
So he's playing. I'll remember, every time I hear the song, I'll think about the time I was getting sliced open down there. He turns on the Offspring. I'm like, friend's got a girlfriend and he hates that. I'm like, great. This is what we're doing? Carving me up. I'm like, maybe add a little bit more of that? It was bad.
If you're going to play the Offspring, at least play some Smash. at least play some early
their,
Offspring.
Their debut album, please. He's like, I love this too.
So the snip snap didn't go well.
Oh, it was awful.
Well, this is a lot to all the wives out there.
Yeah.
You know, oh, just go get it. It's nothing.
Get it done.
Well, Rich Keefe is telling you, it's not nothing.
No, it was pretty bad.
So you want anesthesia in
a
that
ton
region
of it.
Is what
give
you
me
want.
As much as you have. Knock me out if you need to.
Yeah, I'll go under.
Take me out. Like, oh, yeah, you're good. You're right here. I'm like, oh, my God.
Okay. Well, so it's why we all lean vampire, though,
yeah.
I think. In that
go vampire,
debate.
Yep.
Go vampire for sure.
You have to deal with that.
It's a Would You Rather Wednesday. What do we have? Would you rather have anesthesia or not? I think we answered that.
Anesthesia.
What do we have here today, Billy?
All right, first one. Would you rather wildcard weekend games have 3 games on Saturday, 3 games on Sunday, or the way they do it now, 2 games Saturday, 3 Sunday, 1 Monday?
Oh, 3-3.
3-3, 100%.
I don't need the Monday night game.
No, that was recent. Last couple years, they've thrown a Monday night game at us.
That sounds right.
Don't want it.
No.
Don't want it. Also, I hate the fact that you get up on Saturday and you're like, hey, it's wild card weekend. First game starts at 4:30.
Yeah.
I need a 1 o'clock
it's
on
always,
Saturday.
It's always the Houston Texans.
You get the Texans out there trotting
Texans
around.
Texans at 4:30 on Saturday every time.
The 3-3 is what makes it a great weekend. And they're like, now we're going to throw a Monday nighter at you. I'm like, I don't want it. Don't want it. Also, a disadvantage for the Monday night winner, too, isn't it?
100%. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think the players want it. I don't want to watch it. I'd rather watch 3 games Saturday, 3 games Sunday. I don't want to stretch it out till Monday.
Stinks.
I know why they do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get a massive audience on Monday
night. Extra window, extra inventory. You know, I mean, I get why they do it. Does the streaming game bother you? right? Isn't there a prime? Is the prime game the Saturday night game?
Yeah, prime. So was it last year or the year before there was a game on Peacock?
It was last year. It was Dolphins.
But it wasn't NBC.
It was Dolphins and Chiefs. It was that freezing cold game.
Right.
Dolphins and Chiefs on Peacock.
Yeah, that was, I think it's annoying, but it doesn't bother me, especially when, so this time it's Saturday night, Steelers-Ravens on prime.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's the only game, I don't really care.
I don't either.
When I'm flipping around, it's annoying because I can't stand having to like load the app back up
what
and
else,
all that stuff.
What else is on Saturday night? Are the Celtics on Saturday night? I haven't looked that far ahead. Or is there like something else I want to watch? It's not going to be the college football playoff. If there's something else I want to watch, then I agree it's annoying to toggle back
and
forth.
But I'll just put this on and I'll watch it.
I watch Thursday Night Football on Prime all year. It's no different to watch the
Celtics
game
don't
there.
Play. They play Friday, Sunday. So they're not
Bruins are on at 1. So there you go. Watch the Bruins. Take you to football.
Oh, that's true. All right.
Even better.
Yeah, you have a nice little Saturday plan.
Nice little Saturday plan. So we're in agreement on that one. What else, Billy?
Would you rather Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, or Texas win the college football playoff?
Ugh.
They're
Texas?
All kind of...
Really? I think by default, yeah. I'm not rooting for Notre Dame.
No.
I'm not rooting for Penn State.
No.
I'm not rooting for Ohio State. That's the one where you're iffy?
I'm iffy on Ohio State.
You just like all the New Hampshire guys.
Yeah, Ryan Day's a New Hampshire guy. So shout out Ryan Day.
Chip's there.
And Chip Kelly's there. But I have always hated Ohio State. Like, growing up, I was never an Ohio State fan. I really didn't like anybody in the Big Ten.
It's why you hate Vrabel.
I hate him.
That could be why.
No, I don't. No, I've never really liked Ohio State at all, but I think I would pick them. Like, ultimately, for one person to win, I think I'd root for Ryan Day and representing Granite State football.
I think I'm rooting for Texas. And, again, it's by default. It's just I can't bring myself to root for Notre Dame. Although I'm probably going to bet them this weekend, so I'll certainly be rooting for them against Penn State.
Yeah.
But you're like beyond my bets, just like a rooting interest.
Yeah.
I think it's Texas again by default. They're the
Texas.
Most harmless and the least, trust me, they're like a blue blood, big ticket, huge athletic department.
Yeah.
But they're like the least traditional, annoying fan base. At least they're not in my face about it. Ohio State fans are in your face Notre Dame fans, especially here in Boston.
Well, I know. And
when no one went there.
I didn't go there.
No one went there, but it's just,
I am Irish.
Yeah, no, same.
I am Irish, so maybe I should root for Notre Dame.
Wow, so I should root for Notre Dame now? Who's the other one? Oh, and Penn State,
I'm not rooting for Penn State, no.
So, yeah, I just, the least in-your-face annoying fan base, I think, is Texas. So I'll go with them. That said, they're losing this weekend to Ohio State, so
I'll go with Ohio State, but I don't feel great about it.
Okay. Who else, Billy?
Would you rather the Patriots trade the 4th pick or draft best player available?
I'll take the best player available, and part of it is because if it's Elliott Wolf picking the players, I don't feel comfortable or great about him hitting on pick 10 and next year's second round or whatever you get for the 4th pick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that's kind of counter to the first pick because I thought you'd get such a haul for the first pick that I would have traded down and I would have said, all right, take a bunch of shots at it. But I think with the 4th pick, you know me, I've liked Travis Hunter all year. Maybe he's there at 4. We both assume it's going to be quarterback 1-2. Giants at 3. Who the hell knows? We have 4 months to talk about it. But if Travis Hunter's just there on the board at 4, I think I'd rather that because there doesn't seem to be like a guaranteed left tackle for the next 12 years that are there. Maybe one of these guys emerges as that, but it's not like you're passing up on Jonathan Ogden to take Travis Hunter. So as we stand here now in early January, I would take Travis Hunter.
Okay. What if it goes, I would trade back.
Okay.
What if it goes quarterback, Travis Hunter? Who are you taking it for? Do you have a guy yet at 4?
I throw a fit. The first thing I do is I throw a hissy fit. I start chucking stuff around the room. Again, as of today,
yeah,
Tet McMillan.
Okay.
I'd take a wide out.
So you're still going wide receiver.
Yeah.
I think I've talked myself into this because I've started to do more. I kind of assumed they were going to get the number one pick the last couple of weeks. And now I've done a little more research at 4. I don't like the tackles. Maybe you like Kelvin Banks at Texas, who I'll be rooting for, I guess, by default.
He's your guy.
In the college football playoff. Will Campbell's a guard.
He might play tackle, though.
We all like,
right?
He might. We all like the comment he had the other day.
Yeah, he had a really funny comment where he was at some post-game press conference or some media thing, and he was saying how he's like, well, if you get one sack a game as a defensive player, you're like a top five pick. He's like, if you give up one sack a game, you're working for Amazon.
I'm like, well, it's not like that.
Well said.
But I don't think he's a tackle. People like Abdul Carter, I think, because they assume he's going to be Micah Parsons. I'm skeptical of that. I think I've talked myself into, if I have to pick it 4, my answer is I trade down, I want to get more assets. I would have loved to have done it at 1, I'd still do it at 4. But I got to pick it 4. I think I'm taking Will Johnson from Michigan. I like the idea, and this is why I would take Hunter if he's available at 4, but if he's gone, I like the idea of pairing somebody with Christian Gonzalez. I would love a wide receiver at four.
Yeah, I know. I don't love it. It seems high for anybody else.
I don't think McMillan is worth it at that point. I don't. So
I also think a big factor,
too. I like the idea of two stud corners. It's Gonzo on one side. It's Will Johnson on the other. Or,
does it matter if you can cover, but you can't get to the quarterback, so he still has 10 seconds to throw the ball?
Yeah, you got to go get your pass rusher somewhere else. You got to get him in free agency. You got to go get him somewhere else.
Yeah.
But
you don't have him currently on the roster.
I think that's what I like. I like DJ Reed in free agency, so maybe there's a way to do a bunch of things, but I think that's my answer at four.
Well, it's also, you know, do they get T. Higgins, or do they get, like, is there a big free agent splash guy, and then maybe you can go different position? Like, we're just sort of talking in a vacuum.
We'd know a little more.
Yeah, yeah,
that's for sure. So I would trade back. Keith would stay at four, and cross his fingers that Travis Hunter is there. What else do we have, Billy?
All right, finally, would you rather win two Golden Globes or one Oscar?
The Golden Globes seems like a more fun award show.
It definitely is.
But I don't think it has as much gravitas. So, like, if you were promoting your next thing, and they were like, oh, two-time Golden Globe winner Adam Jones is in this show or this movie, or they're like, Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Even though the Oscars is stuffy, a lot of us just regular movie fans are like, I haven't seen half these movies, and, like, what even is this? It still stands out. Like, it's still the number one marketing thing when you're promoting anything is that they were an Oscar winner.
Correct. The thing about Golden Globes, maybe I'm changing the spirit of the question a little bit. Golden Globes, you could win in, like, a variety of stuff.
You could be, like, TV show or movie.
This is what I'm saying.
That's
Oscar,
true.
Oscar is you're just on the big screen, just in a film.
That's right.
And you're right about...
Maybe a short film. Maybe a foreign film.
That's true.
Film. Maybe sound mixing. Who knows what you get yourself into?
Well, that's true. What's your Oscar? What is
documentary
Oscar?
Short.
Audio mixing.
You won for makeup? Okay.
Grip.
Yeah. Grip. Best key grip.
Cinematography.
Well, you still won.
Yeah. So when it comes to the Oscar, like, best picture, you're right. That could be, like, a very stuffy, who cares, I don't even want to watch it kind of film. But, like, best actor could be something different.
Best actor, but you could win, you could win best actor. Like, the people who won on the Globes this past Sunday will probably, most of them will get nominated for an Oscar, but just because you win one doesn't mean you win the other.
I think Oscar is right, but you get two with the Golden
Globes.
It's more of a party. You could win for, like, film and TV. You could win one of each.
And you can just, when you say, like, a multi-Golden Globe winner.
Yeah.
Then you're like, I don't even know how many that is. I know it's more than one.
If you were ranking the EGOTs, Keith.
Yeah. I would go...
Tony's last.
Oscar.
Who wants a Tony?
Oscar, Emmy, Grammy, Tony.
Grammy, Tony.
I'm not a big music guy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, why was I thinking Golden Globe is an EGOT? You're right, Grammy.
No, it's not in there. It's the Grammy.
Yeah, if you're ranking, you would rather have an Emmy over a Grammy. Yeah,
did Tracy Morgan ever get the EGOT on 30 Rock? I know he was going for
On 30 Rock.
Remember
what
the character was?
Did he
have, like, a big necklace?
I think
the EGOT.
You got to check the Tony box at the end.
He's going for the EGOT.
So there you go. I would rather the Oscar as well.
Text line, which again is the same as the phone number. Mm-hmm. The Keith! !! This is to get your attention.
Yeah.
Patriots need a culture change. Vrabel is Dan Campbell.
I
know it's very hard to keep up.
Wait a minute.
As Ben Johnson is to Mike McDaniel, we need a hard O more than anything else. Just let Vrabel hire a good OC, which I would say is a wild card. Also, Dan Campbell we look at as good, I think, because he has Ben Johnson.
Oh, that's a good point. It's a good point.
And we'll find out next year. Maybe Dan Campbell runs it back with different coordinators. We'll see.
Also,
but I wouldn't bet on that.
I don't love Mike McDaniel, but outside of 1 year for Vrabel, McDaniel's pretty similar to the Vrabel tenure there in Tennessee. It's like win 9 or 10 games and lose in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, that's kind of what Vrabel did.
Yeah.
Outside of the 1 year they went on a run, they beat, the Patriots. Then they beat Lamar, who loses all the time. Then they weren't they up huge in that AFC title game to the Chiefs and then blew it? I feel like they were up massively in that game. Which maybe we should investigate that more with Vrabel and his coaching. Like, maybe we should look into that game more because I feel like they blew a giant lead.
That's true. Also, people are like dunking on Mike McDaniel. It's like he took over a team that hadn't made the playoffs in 5 years, made the playoffs his first 2 years, missed this year. So if you want to clown him, he's eight and nine.
They were, okay, so they haven't
finished. So he has a winning record as a coach in 3 years, and he's been to the playoffs twice.
Yeah.
Not this year, but last year, he had the second best offense in
the
NFL.
Up 10 in the AFC Championship game.
Oh, I thought it was more than that.
Who was up 10?
The Titans? Were up 10.
Yeah. I thought it was more than that. No, McDaniel's kind of a dork, but he's not a disaster there.
No.
I think it's going the wrong direction for sure, but he hasn't been a disaster.
Yeah, it is.
I thought you were going to read this text, Keith.
Which
617-779-7937. Did Keith just bring back the dong report? I thought that was the text you were
going to
read.
No, I think Courtney did this morning. By all accounts, she was frazzled this morning.
Yeah, I overheard some of that. She was reeling a little bit.
She said something about
seven
dominated
is nuts,
the world
though.
Like,
really? 7 inches
that's nuts.
Yeah, what'd you say that was wrong?
Yeah, it's insane. It's like three times the average size.
There's like kill for that.
Measuring twice.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, what'd you do? Line up me and Keith?
Measuring from the belly button?
7 inches?
You don't start there. You don't start there.
Yeah, that's okay.
Don't worry about it.
She was shooketh.
Yeah.
You see her in the hallway on the way out here?
Yeah.
She was shooketh.
Yeah.
Seven!
She's like, Santa's
that's
really
a,
upset.
That's around is what I meant to say. Around. Yeah. Think about it.
Sure it is.
Cat's
out of the bag on that.
Would you rather? Here on Jones and Keefe.
I like
Wednesday.
The new Would You Rather opening, too.
Oh,
the
that was
snappy
nice.
Open. I like that quite a bit.
Real nice. Good work by Nick back there.
That's good.
617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback. And let's get to the Red Sox. Are they out on both Rafi Devers and Tristan Casas? Kind of sounds like it. We'll get to that next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We have hit on the New England Patriots today. Sounds like Mike Vrabel, done deal as the head coach of the New England Patriots. How do you feel about that? He'll certainly be a grown man, an adult in the room, unlike the last head coach, Gerard Mayo, who's taken a bit of a beating today based on the expose in The Athletic from Chad Graff. He's at the back of the plane after a bad loss against the Cardinals, playing cards with the guys.
Well, hopefully he won.
Which, again, if you think is not that weird, Jermaine Wiggins spent a long time in the NFL. He says he's never even conceived of such a thing.
No.
So... That would be somebody who's been on team planes and understands the way it goes.
And team boats.
And team boats as well. That's true. I don't think there were any coaches.
Oh, that would be a bad scene.
That would be a real bad scene.
Would have Gerard Mayo been on that boat? Probably.
Maybe. Francona would have been.
Yeah.
That's Francona's kind of scene.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we've talked about the Patriots. Could Tom Brady get in the way of the Patriots bringing in Mike Vrabel, all that at 617-779-7937. We discussed the Bruins, bad loss last night. Fire Sweeney chants in the crowd. They've lost five in a row. Ugly scene for them. And the Celtics. We'll get back to the C's with Terp when he joins us at high noon here on a Would You Rather Wednesday. If you missed any of that, it's on the Odyssey app.
I'll say real quick, not a good sign for Sweeney, because the last time Boston fans chanted to fire somebody, that guy was fired.
Real quick.
Like the next day.
Like so fast.
Or like a week later.
A week later.
So... not great.
That's probably when...
the fans have a strong track record.
That's probably when ownership made their mind up. Now, in this case, Jeremy Jacobs is going to find out in like a week that people were chanting Fire Sweeney. It'll make its way to Buffalo eventually.
Yeah.
But so that's the situation with the Bees. Again, we'll get back to the Celtics with Terp coming up. But the Red Sox are a team we haven't talked about a ton recently.
Haven't done much.
We talked about them late last week. If their offseason was over, would you be happy with it? I guess they're better. I'm still not happy with their offseason. They haven't spent any money. They're oddly getting linked to a number of corner infielders. You can lump Bregman in with this group as well if you want to. He could play third base. I think if he comes here, he would be playing second base. He's been a great third baseman in Major League Baseball. When I say he can play it, I think a lot of the reports are he would move to second here. But lump him in as well. In the past week or so, Mass Live reported that Nolan Arenado would approve a trade here.
Not to Houston.
No, he already
said, I'm not going to Houston.
He declined
on
that one. He would come here. He would approve a trade to the Red Sox. The hang-up is the Red Sox want the Cardinals to eat some of his money. Shockingly.
Yeah, no, I don't believe you.
Okay? So that report came out from Mass Live. Bob Nightingale linked the Red Sox to both Vladimir Guerrero a year from now.
Hello.
But okay, Vladdy Jr.
I can be patient.
A year from now. And who knows? Maybe that means at the trade deadline, maybe that means the Blue Jays would do something now. I have no idea. But they're linked to him. They're also linked to Pete Alonso, who's a free agent right now. Another first baseman from the New York Mets by Bob Nightingale.
Hmm.
So all this interest, Bregman, Arenado, Alonso, even Vladdy a year from now, how does that all tie in with Rafael Devers as your third baseman for now and Tristan Casas as your first baseman for now? I mean, they're linked to so many players at those spots. To me, Keith, it tells me they're not happy with certainly one of them. And maybe either of them long term.
So you do have the DH spot. I know Yoshida's on the team now, but like clearly when he's gone, or you even figure out somewhere else to put him, and you can have Devers DH. You could even really have Casas DH if you wanted to. I still think there might be something with the Casas trade. There's been so much talk about that. You know, there was a lot of smoke around the Seattle guys and Casas being involved, and then, you know, that has obviously kind of fizzled out. But I wouldn't rule out a Costas trade. They are still pretty left-handed, right? Top, up and down the lineup. They're already so committed to Devers. Devers is on the team. It's just a matter of third base, first base, DH. And Nolan Arenado, even if you get him, I don't know, how long is he the third baseman for? Like, he's an older guy. I love him as a player. Like, he's a Hall of Fame player, but he's on the other side of it. Whereas Vladimir Guerrero Jr., great bounce back year for him last season. I'm very intrigued by that. I wouldn't mind speeding up the timetable on that. Yeah, you can wait a year and just sign him and just money, and that's great. You hold on to some of your prospects. But with 1 year left on the deal, you don't get as much for him, a la Mookie Betts. The Red Sox just dealt with this. There were rumors that, oh, the Dodgers would be interested the next year. And they were like, we're not going to wait a year.
We'll
trade for him now.
And there's a chance you get a slight discount on the contract because you have a tiny bit of leverage. You get him now.
Yeah.
You know, Crochet has 2 years left on his deal, but same idea.
Yeah.
You get him now. He's not on the open market.
They can't ask for a ton. Like, if Mookie Betts got Jeter Downs, Alex Verdugo, and Connor Wong with 1 year left on his deal, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you'll get a good return, but it's not going to be like, you know, to destroy the farm system.
So, look, if you can trade for Vladdy or you can sign Pete Alonso, then I'm okay with moving Cassis for a pitcher.
Same.
If it's Arenado.
No, that doesn't make sense to me.
I don't think so either.
So then if Arenado is your third baseman and now you're going to try Devers at first, is that what you would do?
I guess. Or you're going to move Arenado to first?
I mean, I guess.
That seems very backwards. The guy who, even if he's tailed off defensively and he's 33 years old.
Still going to be much better than Devers at third.
And will be, I think, 34, not on opening day, but early on in the season in April.
Yeah.
So
I mean, he's declined over the last couple of years.
He has, but I'm not moving him off third to accommodate Rafael Devers.
No.
So I don't mind trading Casas for pitching if that's your plan. If you're bringing in Alonso or you're bringing in Vladdy Guerrero, even Bregman, I would be maybe coaxed into that.
Yeah.
But Arenado, not enough. If you get Arenado to play at third, move Devers to first, and now you're flipping Casas for like Luis Castillo,
I don't like that.
I think I'd almost sit tight. I would sit tight.
But what if you knew you were going to sign Pete Alonso? And then you got Luis Castillo, who is the third of the three Mariners pitchers.
That I would do.
Okay.
If I know, because I think you're selling low on Casas, that scares me a little bit, but I know what I'm getting in Pete Alonso.
Do you think Casas will be a multi-time All-Star?
Maybe.
I thought he was going to be 3,100 last year, so I was very high on him going into the year, and then he hurt his rib and he was out for 8 months, but we'll see. I mean, I think he's got the chance to be really good, but I don't know. Like, there's definitely not a guarantee. Like, I like, you know, as far as, like, the young guys on the team, I like Jaren Duran significantly better.
Oh, me too. And Duran's really not that young, but I understand your point.
Yeah, he's a couple years older.
The idea of, you know, if they're happy with Devers, if they're happy with Casas, are they done tinkering? I mean, I hope they're not done, but Arenado, to me, is not enough. They've been linked to him all offseason. And it sounds like...
Well, same with Bregman, too. Like, they've been linked to both those guys this whole time.
True. And it sounds like the hang-up with the Cardinals is the Red Sox want him to take money. And there was a story in The Athletic yesterday. I think her name was Katie Wu, was the author. And, you know, she basically said there's one option for the Cardinals to move Arenado, and this is it. So maybe the Red Sox have leverage and they're waiting it out, maybe. And maybe Alex Bregman is going to be J.D. Martinez, Trevor Story, late signing in free agents. Maybe it's all that, and they still have a lot up their sleeve. But it doesn't sound like they're happy with what they have with Rafael Devers, which I think is a start. I do think it'd be a mistake to move on from Casas too early, especially in so low for someone like Luis Castillo. Good pitcher, but not young and tailed off a bit.
Arenado had 16 home runs last year.
Not good.
And a 719 OPS.
I mean, even Pete Alonso slugged you 34 dingers last year.
I'll take the 34 dingers.
He went in reverse order, 46, 40, 37, 16 in a year where it looks like
was that the short year?
You're right. That was COVID. Yeah. And then he had 53 way back in 2019.
He'd bop you a dinger.
So even Alonso's not perfect, but I would look the other way on that one. Yeah, I think you need to aim higher than Arenado.
No, definitely. Or, like, it's one of those things where it's him and somebody else. Like, that's not, like, the next big move where you're like, oh, now the lineup's set.
Nope. So you can jump in on the Red Sox, 617-779-7937. We'll get back to the Patriots. Mike Vrabel. Could Tom Brady get in the way of Vrabel coming to New England? It mostly sounds like a done deal. Plus, we'll have more on the Celtics with Terp when he joins us at high noon next.